We do have a lot of visitors, and we're thankful for your presence today and hope that you'll come back and be with us again. Among the visitors, my daughter and her family, or at least part of her family, are here, and we're thankful for that. Now, some of you will be meeting them for the first time, and every other visitor we're grateful for. I think one announcement that we may have missed was that Gary and Joe's 58th anniversary is today. So certainly we want to be mindful of them on this day of celebration. What comes to your mind when I mention the word church? It might be the song that was written by Dr. William S. Pitts in 1857, an old song. It was sung by Loretta Lynn and Tennessee Ernie Ford and many others that we who are older will remember. The song was entitled Church in the Wildwood. There's a church in the valley in the wildwood, no lovelier spot in the dale. No place is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church by the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Or you might think about a church steeple. A steeple that makes a church building visible from a distance. Or you might think about a church as one of many denominational groups meeting with differing doctrines and practices. But the Greek word for the word church, is ekklesia. Ek or ek means out. And kaleo is from the root word to be called out. So if you put those two together, kaleo and ek or ekklesia, it means the called out. In New Testament times, it was used for any assembly of people. In fact, in the book of Acts, there was an unlawful assembly of people, and it's referred to as the ekklesia. But it came to refer to a group of people who were called out of a world of darkness and into a world of light, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. So when was the church established? Well, most of us would say that it was established on the day of Pentecost following the resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ. You may have to forward the slide on this. I think our battery's out. Sorry. Go to the next one if you would. That's when the church was initiated. However, we should also understand that God planned Christ's church before the foundation of the world. Next one. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. The church certainly was not an afterthought following the rejection of Christ in the first century, as some people even claim today. But Paul went on to say, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So certainly the church was established or initiated on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, but it was always in the mind of God. So where was Christ's church established? There were many prophecies in the Old Testament that were made hundreds of years before their actual occurrence. Isaiah prophesied some 800 years before the Lord's church was begun. This verse, it was pointed out by Dayton earlier in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. Certainly that would be in the last dispensation, the time in which we are living now, actually, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the law from Jerusalem. That last phrase is really what, in poetry at least, in the Old Testament, is referred to as a Hebrew parallelism, where one statement is made and then another statement is made that means the same but using different words. So he says, for out of Zion shall go forth the law. And then the second phrase, which means the same, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Jesus himself foretold the beginning of the church that it would be in Jerusalem. It would be after his resurrection. And it would be when the Holy Spirit would come upon his followers. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 49. Go ahead to the next slide, if you would. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So again, we see that it is to be all nations. It was not going to be exclusive to the Jewish nation, but it was going to be all nations. And it would begin at Jerusalem, even as it did in Acts, the second chapter. Jesus told his apostles that he must leave before he could send the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, to them. And that's found in John 15, verses 26 through 27. But in John 16 and verse 7, it says, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The only way that the Holy Spirit would come was if Jesus would die. And that was in the whole plan of God. And certainly Jesus did die, and he was resurrected, and he ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit was given to the followers, particularly at first in Acts 1, it was given to his disciples. Jesus affirmed to his followers in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Then they witnessed Jesus being taken up into a cloud out of their sight, Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. Now, following Jesus' ascension into heaven, the apostles meeting in the upper room. Peter reminded them of the prophecy by David referring to Judas in Psalm 41 and verse 9, as well as the appointment of Matthias as the 12th apostle on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon them as had been prophesied. Listen to what is written in Acts, the second chapter, beginning in verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Go ahead with the next, please. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born?" Excuse me. Good old allergies are working on me today. All right. Now, we can certainly understand when he talks about the Galileans there. These men were not regarded as very educated men, but yet they were able to speak in a tongue that was a language. And all of the languages that were there, those were spoken, the apostles spoke those languages through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the question for me, and probably for you as well, was why was this prophesied and why was this fulfilled, that these Galileans, these common men, would be able to speak in foreign languages that they had not studied? They were common men. And because they were common men, who would accept them as spokesmen for God unless something natural or supernatural confirmed that which he spoke? This was stated by Jesus again in the Great Commission. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. And he said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So that was the reason for these miraculous things to occur at the hands of the apostles, so that when they went out and when they taught people, those people would know that their message was from God. And when those apostles died, after they had that power given to them, and anyone who the apostles laid their hands on who had that power, when they died, those miraculous gifts were ended. So certainly today we have seen quite a bit. We have seen that Christ's church was conceived in the mind of God before the world was even created. And there were numerous prophecies about the church made many centuries before the inception of the church on the day of Pentecost following Jesus' resurrection and ascension. And those prophecies foretold that Christ's church would begin in Jerusalem, which it did, Acts 1 and 2, which we looked at. And if you are to belong to the same church, which Christ purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28, the church which bears his very name, Christ Church, churches of Christ, then you too must believe and be baptized as Christ instructed his apostles to teach and to preach. And certainly the question that we have before you this morning, have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb of God? If you have not, that opportunity is before you today. You can be baptized into Christ and have your sins forgiven. If there are some who are here this morning who need the prayers of this church, of this congregation, we certainly hope that you will respond as well. If there's anyone here who needs to place membership with this family, we would also welcome you to do that. Won't you come while we stand and sing?